Lowell Bergman, good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm actually really fascinated by this story because, I mean, we see often in popular culture these, you know, coroners as, you know, interesting, colorful characters. You know, you ask yourself the question, why would anyone take this job? You really ask the question, why and who are the people who take this job?
Yeah, 1,300 of them in the United States are elected. It's usually an entry-level elected position in a county, by county basis.
And as an institution, how important is the coroner to the functioning of, say, the justice system or just the simple, you know, act of dying and what has to be done administratively?
Well, we're one of the few countries that has coroners per se in them, something called a coroner, because it comes from Richard the Lionhearted. And it means the crowner, the representative of the king, when an estate needs to be claimed after a death. They are coroners in different places actually have some number of different functions. But the basic function, as it's developed in the U.S., is to declare and classify the nature, the manner of death. Not how someone necessarily died medically, but a legal classification of whether it's an accident, natural, a homicide, suicide, or undetermined.
And in this case, you know, when so many coroners are elected, I mean, could I run for coroner?
Yeah, yeah. In most places, at least as long as you have a high school diploma, there are some states where it requires that you be a medical doctor or suggests that a medical doctor should take precedent. But, for example, in California, in most of the counties in California, 54, I believe, the coroner is also the elected county sheriff and doesn't have any medical background.
And, you know, some of the characters that we meet along the way in your Frontline documentary, you know, give a real tangible sense of what this means. Here's former chief medical examiner from Virginia, Marcella Fierro.
It doesn't take a great medical mind to figure out someone's got his head blown off by a shotgun. But it does take special expertise to tell, is his arm long enough to do it? Is there any other activity going on with his body that would have predisposed him to depression? Does he have marks of defense? That's pretty sophisticated stuff. You don't learn that in a week.
And if you don't know stuff like that, according to Marcella Fierro, it would seem that a suicide, which is actually a murder, could easily just be a closed case.
Yeah, and there are a number of realities that we discovered along the way in this investigation. One is that the medical examiners in general and coroners as part of that in the United States are severely underfunded in most places, not everywhere, but in most places. And they don't see most of the people who die. In fact, in a place like Los Angeles County, they see, and by see I mean an investigator, not a doctor, not an autopsy, go out and look at the scene where someone dies, and only one out of three deaths.
No kidding. Now, you know, we think because of popular culture that coroners are an arm of the police investigative force. But in fact, in most places in the United States, they are unrelated to each other.
Well, not necessarily. And as I said, in California, the sheriff is the coroner. So there is law enforcement
wow.
and the medical examiner all together in one place. If you're in Boston, for example, there is no coroner. There's a state medical examiner, but he or she is part of the law enforcement apparatus of the state, the criminal justice section of the state police. If you're in New York, where you are, it's in New York City, as opposed to the rest of the state, it's a medical examiner, not a coroner. If you went to another part of New York State, it would be a coroner. And that medical examiner in New York is actually renowned for being one of the best in the country, because they used to have a coroner in New York about 100 years ago, and there was a long series of indictments of coroners and their employees for selling the cause of death to insurance companies.
Oh, wow. And some of the abuses that you find in this Frontline documentary are pretty interesting as well. Here's Chris Reynolds, who's a private investigator in Sonoma, California, speaking all about a I don't know, should we call him a colorful character, a medical examiner by the name of Dr. Gill.
He had been arrested and charged with drunk driving on his way to work early in the morning. From there, it was story after story about his incompetence, stories about his failure to make proper diagnoses. He was giving crazy answers about how he thought people died. He did hundreds and hundreds of autopsies.
Now, that's both a chilling and comical story of incompetence, but what is the impact on people's lives or deaths?
Well, most deaths are not mysteries, but in those that are important, particularly amongst the vulnerable, the elderly, young people, the person doing the examination has to have real expertise. In Dr. Gill's case, when he started out about 20 years ago in Indiana, they allowed him in Indianapolis to do autopsies when he had almost no prior experience, no expertise. He learned on the job. He did hundreds of them. And in the course of that, he did young children. Families got very upset because the causes of death turned out to be not what he said they were. People were got in trouble because of things that he said. In the end, the prosecutors in the area started to refuse to deal with them. And finally, when he got caught drunk on the way to work, one day he was fired. But the point of the story is that he went on, continued to go on to do autopsies in Los Angeles, Northern California, Kansas City, and is now back in Northern California.
Amazing. Did you ever ask yourself in the course of this investigation who, without any medical training, would want to sign up for a job, and you have no expertise, where you saw human bodies open?
Well, coroners normally don't do the autopsy. Like in Dr. Gill's case, they are doctors and they are forensic pathologists. That's usually the requirement in most states. You become somewhat inured to seeing the bodies after a while. That's a question, and by the way, something that our own camera crew and others, because you'll see the footage, we're inside the autopsy rooms, although shot in a way not to really shock you. But you do get used to some of it, although I must say the smell is not something you get used to.
Amazing. Well, the documentary is called Postmortem, and it's a new Frontline documentary, and directing and investigating and reporting that story is Lowell Bergman, who joins us from our member station, WGBH in Boston. Lowell Bergman, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.